Hey, and welcome back to Sunday Replay on the Harmony Podcast Network. My name is Jace, and at Harmony, we believe that we don't need to be in person to be a part of the church. Now, in-person gatherings are great, and I personally do feel that it's the way that I best connect with God and with my faith community. But we know that for a lot of people, that's not the reality. Whether you're far away from a church that accepts you for who you are, maybe you have experienced church hurt in the past, or maybe you're just not sure where to start or can't fit an in-person church service into your weekly schedule, know that you can do church with us online. You can do church with us in a podcast. And that's why we create Sunday Replay every week. This is a different kind of church podcast. And if this is how you're connecting with the faith family on a regular basis, we'd love to connect with you in a one-on-one situation. And I welcome you to send me an email. You can always contact me, Jace, that's J-A-S-E, at hollywoodumc.org. And I would love to help you find other ways to connect with Harmony, whether you're, you know, local, near our physical building, or across the globe. We have ways to engage with you, and we hope that you'll engage with us too. Now, for this week's episode, Pastor Mark is continuing our Lent series from the Gospel of Mark called Good News.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm not going to put an Irish accent for you now, okay? So it's wonderful to be with you on this beautiful, beautiful day. The sun, oh, goodness, are we glad to have some sun? Yeah. And so it's greetings to everyone here in person. We're saying hello to everyone online as well as those listening to the Sunday Replay podcast. It is always such a blessing to be able to connect with you. Well, today we are concluding our sermon series, Good News, the Gospel of Mark. Now, there's certainly a lot more to explore in this gospel account written by Jesus and about Jesus. And as we continue in this season of Lent, and we're going to be entering into Holy Week, and then after that, of course, is Easter, Resurrection Sunday. I've been encouraging everyone to read the gospel according to Mark, and it's 16 chapters. It goes by really quickly. And I know some of you have already been doing this, having shared your experiences with me and including those that are in my Bible study that I'm leading, which has been fun, as well as some have been reading Mark for the very first time, and that is fantastic. I love it. Well, this morning, my message, a level playing field, makes a connection upon sort of what we, well, actually, no, it actually is not sort of, it does. It focuses upon last week. We're carrying that forward, that your ways are not my ways, declares the Lord. That true greatness is about doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly and living with God. That true greatness is being a servant of all. Well, our centering scripture passage this morning from Mark 12, verses 38 through 44 contains two distinct but interconnected stories. Now, there's this one story, and it is about the legal experts. And then you have this other story, and it's about the widow's offering. And on the appearance, it's sort of like, well, how in the world are those two related to each other? They're polar opposites, but they're actually complementary of each other, conveying important teachings about righteousness and the nature of authentic faith, while also showing us how Jesus, he levels the playing field. So let's look at the first story, and this is verses 38 through 40. And Jesus, he shares a warning to those who will listen. Watch out for those legal experts. Wow, what's that about? Watch out for the legal experts. I mean, why is he saying this? Because the legal experts, these are scribes. These are the people that are supposed to be shown respect for their authority and their influence and their knowledge. People looked up to these religious leaders, and they were scholars deferring to their expertise. They were seeking their guidance and their counsel. I mean, come on, Jesus, what's up with that? But he was concerned. Yeah, he was concerned about these religious authorities who, rather than defending the widowed and the orphan and those in need like the poor, they were treating their position as excess to the influence and the power of the wealthy. Their desire was to be seen for their ostentatious displays of piety and religious observances, seen for their status, seen for their superiority. And by being seen, you know what would happen? They would be greeted. They'd be greeted with honor. They would be greeted and saying, here's the best seats in the house. And Jesus is pointing out to those in such positions that they're being more concerned about their outward appearances, their selfish motives, instead of their inward transformation by showing love and mercy and compassion for those in need. And then he adds this extra little bit. They are the ones who cheat widows out of their homes. Woo! I can see Tom Simmons over in the back. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Watch out for those who profess to be faithful, yet they've got this elitist attitude while exploiting the vulnerable for personal gain. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but legal experts, they weren't paid for their expertise. They weren't paid to teach. No. They were supposed to have a trade to make the bread for the day. That said, there are some interpreters that have stated that scribes might have acted as guardians for widows who lacked male relatives. Others have suggested that they may have accepted hospitality from widows under the pretense of piety in order to support their tastes, for wealth, for power, sponging off those that they were meant to serve. And without any male protection, and I hate to say that, I really do hate to say that, but it's the way this was in the ancient days, that without any male protection, widows were economically threatened. Easy pickings to be manipulated, scammed. After expressing his concern regarding this issue, we're then told in verse 41 that Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Now, I was thinking about this is that most likely in his physical positioning, Jesus, he moved from probably the open area in the temple court, and then he goes over, because this is where teaching and discussion would happen, and then he moves over into what was known as the court of the women. Now, in the court of the women, there were 13 receptacles called the trumpets. And their shape was like a trumpet made of metal, and it had this wide opening with at the top to receive one's offerings. You drop it in, and then it would go in and spiral down into a box container. Now, these containers, they were specifically for monetary gifts of daily sacrifices and expenses of the temple. Now, for example, one trumpet's purpose was to buy corn or oil or wine for the sacrifices. Another one was for offerings for the burnt pigeons and turtle doves. Another was for the sin offering. Another one was for incense. Another one was a voluntary gift to the temple as a temple tribute. And then, so we're told that Jesus, he sat across from the trumpets. And this, friends, is where he goes from a teaching moment to a moment of observation. Now, going back, how did that first story start off with? Watch out. Watch out. And now, how does the second story begin? With Jesus being on the watch. He is watching out. Well, in this set of verses that is 41 through 44, we have an example of mindfulness. With Jesus, he's taking time to intentionally observe. He's looking, he's studying, he is seeing and studying the people's actions and their interactions, enabling him to discern their hearts. In this setting, how do you imagine Jesus? I see him centering his breath, taking his time. And as he's doing that, he takes in the sights and the sounds and the sensations, the smells of everything that is around him, and he's paying attention to the present moment. Now, what does that present moment entail? Well, it entails a lot of folks who have come far and wide to come to the temple, and Jesus observed many rich people were throwing in lots of money into the trumpets. Now, I want you to take that in for a moment. I want you to visualize heavy coins coming in, lots of heavy coins. And what were the trumpets made of at the top? Metal. Yeah, metal. And so heavy coins, visualize that and think about it. Heavy coins are being dropped into the metal piece. Heavy coins. Now, what kind of sound is that going to make? Is it like a tiny sound? No, you're going to hear that sound, right? And so as they're entering the wide open and opening and then spiraling down and then going into the box, it's making a good sound, right? To be heard. Now, so these wealthy contributors, they want to be seen. Hey, look at me dropping in all these coins. I got coins going in. But also they want not only to be seen, they want to be heard, to draw attention to themselves, maybe to increase their sense of a status in the community. And then Jesus then sees one poor widow came forward and put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Now, just so you know, the coin that the widow contributed was known as a leptan. A leptan, which literally means a thin one. It's the smallest of coins. And in fact, it took 64 pennies to equal one denarius, which was a day's wage. And this woman gave two coins worth only a penny. Now imagine the sound that those two coins made as they went into the trumpet and spiraled down. Imagine how she was seen by others, or not seen, because no one's going to notice her. Well, except Jesus. He saw her with different eyes, and he wanted his disciples to see her through his eyes. So he calls them over and he says, I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who has been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on. This week, during my reflection, I thought about this widow. And some of you, like my mother passed away and she was a widow. I know Christine's dad passed away and she's a widow. And I was thinking of the situation, and there's other instances here of individuals who are widows. And I was reflecting about this, and I gotta tell you, my heart went out to the widow. And because it's so easy to get scammed, and which happened to my mother, and fortunately I was intervened. So here's a woman, and she lost her husband. But she didn't only lose her husband. She lost her place in society in these days, and she also lost her name. Now, given the brevity of this story, it seems as though also, if you think about it, there's no family members caring for her. And that saddened me. And I wondered then, as I took in this set of verses here, about her hopeless poverty. This hopeless poverty, was it because she had been taken advantage of by one of these scribes, the one who cheated widows out of their homes? And in her giving, as I was seeing her in my mind's eye, I was wondering, how is she feeling? Is she feeling vulnerable? Does she feel ashamed of her poverty, that she's only giving in these two small little coins worth a penny? Nevertheless, here is this woman, and she stands before one of the trumpets, giving everything she had, even what she needed to live on, choosing to act out of humility and faith. And man, oh man, you talk about deep devotion. And I thought to myself, wow, even if the poverty had been caused by one of these religious leaders here and she'd been exploited, she didn't let that stand in her way. This poor widow still willingly came to the temple, not because of any religious leader, but to demonstrate a profound trust, a trust in God's provision, along with her steadfast commitment to honor Yahweh with what little she had. Now, while she would have been regarded as poor in financial resources, you know what? Her gift of a penny, that was worth a fortune in God's eyes. She was anything but poor in spirit. This woman was a hero of our faith. She was brave and resolute. She was selfless and inspiring. And with Jesus on the watch, he was like, watch her. Watch her. Faith community, by highlighting the widow's offering, Jesus shifts the focus from the showiness of wealth to sincerity and sacrificial nature of the gift that is being given. With God seeing and recognizing the offerings of all, regardless of their socioeconomic status, the playing field was leveled. For it is on this field, friends, that the Creator values and acknowledges contributions that are not based on their monetary value, but on heart, on sacrifice that is behind them. Jesus was challenging the prevailing societal norms that were placing more value on the wealthy than others, making it clear God's assessment isn't influenced by material wealth. No, that God's assessment is about us having a genuine desire to contribute to community, that Jesus was fostering and did foster in an environment where everyone is encouraged to participate in the act of giving, creating a sense of equality and unity. When this encouragement to participate in incorporating today's scripture passage, I'd like to bring forth some questions for everyone to reflect upon this week. Where are we giving from? Might you be holding back? Well, am I only giving out of abundance, my surplus? And then the third question then follows that one up to say, if so, why are you holding on to so much when we know that everything that we hold back from God, that causes a disconnect? This is some good stuff to reflect upon. So I'm going to close my message with three things. One, I want to talk about the giving of ourselves. I want you to mark your calendars for Saturday, May 11th. Now, why? It's 8 weeks from now. I'm giving you advance notice because what I want us to do is volunteer. We're going to volunteer for the Toluca Lake Pancake Breakfast, which benefits Fire Station 86, just down the road, and the Widows and the Orphans and Disabled Firemen's Fund. And I have promised Brian Viskowski from the Red Maple Cafe, and as you know, Brian was here with us in December, and he shared that we're going to volunteer-wise have at least 20 people participate, giving of our time and energy. So let's make that happen. Amen? Secondly, I hope that you will reflect further on this scripture passage today from Mark 12, verses 38 through 44. And as you do so, you may be thinking to yourself, you know what, Pastor Mark, I just don't have that much material gift-wise that I can give to Christ. But I want you to remember something here, that if we put everything that we have and are at his disposal, the Lord can do marvelous things and does marvelous things with it and with us that are beyond our imaginings. And my last point, as we head toward Holy Week, which begins next Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, and that's March 24th, the widow reminded Jesus of someone. This was a woman who made a tremendous sacrifice and withheld nothing from God. Well, neither did Jesus. You see, friends, it took one to know one. And with this, we give praise and glory to God. Yes, and all God's people said, amen.
It's time for the Sunday Replay Halftime Show, where every week we take a few moments to talk about ways that you can engage with the faith community. First, Easter at Harmony is coming. On the last Sunday of this month, March 31st, 2024, you're invited to celebrate Resurrection Day with us. Bring the whole family, bring your friends. It's going to be a great experience as we celebrate Christ together. At 10:30 a.m., we have our regular worship experience that's happening in person on the Harmony campus, and it'll also be live streamed on our Facebook and YouTube channels. We'll have opportunities for kids to learn and play and engage in an age-appropriate environment, and all, and literally, when we say all, we mean all. All people are welcome at this gathering at 10:30 a.m. at Harmony. Right after service at noon, we also have food and games and an Easter egg hunt happening for families, families of all ages, but especially those with children. It's an entire community event. Everyone is welcome, even if you're not able to make it to the 10:30 a.m. service. Please join us around noon for these activities. And if you have any questions about what's happening on Easter morning, or if you just want to volunteer to help and get involved, you can contact our family ministry director, Julia. And her email is Julia, J-U-L-I-A, at hollywoodumc.org. Also, our United Women in Faith group is hosting a walkathon for Alexandria House coming up on March 23rd. And if you want to get involved in the walkathon, you can contact our UWF president, Katrina Bailey, and the email is the letter U, the letter W, and then the word faith, UWFaith, at hollywoodumc.org. This week on the Harmony Podcast Network, Rev. Jefferson Beaker, our meditation ministry director, is hosting a new Inner Harmony meditation, and we hope you'll join us for that. But for now, for the second part of today's episode, we have an Our Story conversation with one of my favorite people at Harmony, Sandy Lee.
So I am so excited. We have the opportunity, and she is such a hoot. I love Sandy. Today, for those that don't know, this is an opportunity for us on this Sunday, because this is what happens on the third Sundays of the month. We have what is known as an Our Story conversation, and we are focusing on individuals here within the community, but we're also starting to take it outside the community to talk about one's faith journey. It's only 15 minutes, but it's an important part because this is part of our fabric, and we learn from one another. And so, Sandy Lee, who also, she provided the food last week. Yes. Woo. That was some good eats is all, yes, right? So Sandy Lee is a multifaceted individual. She's not only a mother and a grandmother, but she's an unpublished author and artist. From wholesaling buttons to selling used cars, owning a tutoring center, and working as a paralegal, she has done it all to support her family throughout the years. As a third-generation United Methodist, Sandy brings her diverse experiences to the Harmony Faith community, and we are so blessed by Sandy. Amen. She has such compassion and wisdom, and so I thought, what better time for a Sandy Lee to come with us during Women's History Month? Yes. All right, so are you ready, Sandy?
Yes,
I know. I don't bite, I promise, okay? So, I'm gonna give you a softball question. Ready? All right, here we go. What's the most beautiful place that you've ever been to, or a place that you dream of visiting someday?
When I was 19 years old, I was a freshman in college, right? My major is history. So we have a historical place to visit every semester.
I don't know if you've caught what she said, but so a temple, you've walked to a temple.
Right.
Historical temple, there's the cherry blossoms, the wind is blowing. I can imagine this. Right. Can you imagine this?
It doesn't look like a realistic, you know. It's kind of a dreaming, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the place, it's most beautiful place I ever been, yeah.
Oh, that sounds gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd like to experience that. Wow. Well, so you're talking about that you were 19 at that point.
Right,
yes.
Right,
okay.
Yes.
So let's go back to your childhood since you brought up being 19.
Mm-hmm.
Did a particular person give you, or who was it that gave you your first memory of God?
First memory of God. Actually, you know, my grandpa, my father is all like a leader, elder in my church, right? So, of course, when my mom conceived me, probably I go to church, right, every Sunday. But I remembered God, probably the preschool teacher in the church, and then talking about the God, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe 5, 6 years old, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. So about mm-hmm. 5 or 6, and what was that memory? Think about the memory itself for you.
Right, it looks like, you know, the God is a genie in Aladdin. Right, you need something, then just pray that you could have it, right? Uh-huh. So, yeah, look at that way.
That sounds like a great God, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So that was your first thought
right,
of God
yeah.
when mm-hmm. you were a child?
Right,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so when you were a kid, or even now, mm-hmm. Do you have a spiritual hero or heroine
yes.
that you can think
it's
of?
Yes, you know, my spiritual mentor is my grandpa.
Oh.
And my grandpa, when he was like 50 years old, he met Jesus from missionary from the America, Methodist to, you know, some kind of a missionary, I don't know how to explain. But when he met Jesus, he changed his life completely. So, you know, he doesn't live so long, but all the like little village people mm-hmm. call him Little Jesus.
Oh,
right.
Little Jesus.
So I never meet anyone who is called by Little Jesus, you know, yeah. So
wow.
So he's my spiritual mentor. I try to resemble him, but it's very hard. Yeah.
Wow. So did you know your grandfather before he became Little Jesus?
Right. Yeah. When he married him, he has a really deep face, and he established 2 churches.
Oh, but that was after.
Right, after.
Did you see the change, though, between the before and after?
Of course not, because he died before I was born.
Oh. So, well, that's interesting to have a spiritual hero mm-hmm. That was before you were born.
Right,
that's interesting.
Right. When we have the memorial service for him, right? And my mother and my father, my brother, sister, they always told that about his story, you know.
Oh.
So I always remember all the little details, you know, what kind of life he has.
Uh-huh. And so that story lived within you.
Right.
Within your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've passed that along to your family.
Right.
Ah,
and then when I meditate, I talk to him.
Ah.
Yes.
Wow, that's great. I love that. Mm-hmm. That is phenomenal. So when you first became a Christian, mm-hmm. so do you remember when you first became a Christian?
Actually, probably when I was maybe 1 year old, got probably my mom took it to church, and we have a Baptist.
Oh, so you had
Baptist,
a baptism.
Right.
But if you recognize and you go further in and to say, okay, mm-hmm. I am going to now say that I'm a Christian.
Right. That is when I met God,
mm-hmm.
Personally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I could confess that he is my God.
Yes.
Yes.
So when... So we've already mm-hmm. talked about God as a genie.
Right.
Over time, and how did you think of Jesus? When you mm-hmm. saw Jesus, what did you see?
You know, as I told you, it was like God or Jesus is my genie. But later on, when I grew up, Jesus was my friend, like a best friend.
Ah.
Right? And then when I through the very hardship, right, in my life, I feel like Jesus is my lover and my husband. You know, I'm divorced, right? Now it's a little different. I have a little different feelings, but very, very long time, he was, you know, he is my best friend.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah.
But now I feel a little different way to understand, you know, who God is.
So... just listening to you, beautiful words that you're sharing mm-hmm. and imagery, I mm-hmm. see that that relationship has become more intimate.
Yes.
Same with God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you see God now?
Now I feel like God is the controller. Mm. So when I meditate or I pray in deeply, I feel like I really talk to the God. He's control me. You know, the Sandy, don't go this side or this side, right? So always telling me the balance. Mm-hmm. Balancing. So it's very, very tightly balancing. I don't know how to explain this balancing means, but my ego always makes me down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to be a better person or, yeah. Something like, yeah. So I all feel like he controls me, yes.
Yeah, well, it's always a balancing act,
right,
isn't it? Because our ego wants to do what it wants to do versus what God wants us to do.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, smart. So I think probably a lot of prayer helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the prayer is very important to me in my life.
Yeah, so why? I love that you come into this sanctuary. Every time you come to worship, you start off and you pray.
Right.
What is that about?
First of all, I pray for the service. I pray each of the people attending here then have the really feel it, the Holy Spirit is in them.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first prayer. And the second prayer is we have like, you know, pastor and then like the praise teams and then some kind of people coming up and then write the announcement or something. Then I help them to have a really, really close to God. So whenever they say or performing something, the, you know, when they say something, when they sing a song, and then we could feel it that God is here. So yeah, that's sort of it. And then the last one is I always pray for the country. Especially I feel like we are on the rug, you know, so. Yeah, I always cry, you know, when I pray for the country.
Yeah.
You know what, I'm gonna tell you very little kind of a funny things. I am the immigrant, right? And the first generation. Of course, immigrants, we like to come for the better life, right? But every time they show the, you know, like a passport, right? Power, which passport is more powerful, right? And then before I came here like 48 years ago, the South Korea is not a good country to live, you know? It was under dictatorship, right? President Park. Now it's a change. So changeable. The South Korea is the second have a passport, like a passport power, right? And then America is like a 7 or 8, you know. And then it makes me so mad. You know, I came here for the better life, and then what is this, you know? So I really pray hard. And then I feel like, you know, of course I'm small and then I have no power, right? But I believe that, I really believe the butterfly effect, right? So I pray hard. Of course God will listen to that, what I pray, right? So people think, so you're very small, but I pray really, really hard for the nation. Maybe we're going to, yeah, have a better nation, yeah. Especially this year, we have an election, don't forget.
Well, I love, Sandy, that you are, oh my gosh, you are so powerful. You may be small, but you are powerful. And I love, and thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the prayers for the community. Thank you for praying for me. I need as many prayers as I can get. But praying also for just our journeys. It is so appreciated. And to me, you set the tone. When I come through those doors and I see you there, because you have your spot,
right.
and I see you, it just always moves me and inspires me. It's like, okay, I know we're being blanketed in prayer.
Thank you.
And prayer has certainly been significant in your life.
Right.
Throughout your life. You've had ups and downs, haven't you?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, what is the butterfly effect? Just for anyone that might not know, what do you mean by that?
You know, the people think we have no power to do something big, right? But do small things do, then it will be changed. That is, I understand the way,
mm-hmm.
right? It, like a little butterfly in the India, right? They fly to here, but the little butterfly doesn't do anything, right? But when they came here, they threw the Pacific Ocean, then it's going to be big wind to make it. So I think, you know, each of us is very important to change something, you know,
Yeah, and there's intentionality behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So the intentionality of one person, but if we multiply that and have many people intentionally praying.
Right. So we have to pray for the nation, please.
Yes. Well, I know we're running close to out of time, and there's so much more that I want to talk to her about. What led you to Harmony Toluca Lake?
Oh, the my daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she attended many other churches, right? The big church, small church, but she found the Toluca Lake here, and then you told me about the many good things, right? And then I attended the Korean church all my life, right?
Mm.
And then it's not easy to change the American church because the English is my second language, you know, it's very limitation. So, but I'm a very liberal. So when I attend the Korean church, most of the Korean church or the Asian church is under like Confucius theory, right? You know the Confucius, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So most of them are very, very conservative. So when I'm sitting there and I listen to the pastor's sermon, I feel like very stuff in my mind and then I don't feel comfortable, you know? Many times I don't agree with him. So I said, like that. Yeah, so when I came here, I feel free. Oh. I feel free, really, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I'm so, even though every Sunday morning I start to prepare to come here, right? Then I'm so, you know, how do you explanation? So happy to come to the church, you know, yeah.
Well, I give praise that you haven't gone to me in my sermons.
Yeah.
Warn me, Joy, if she does. Well, that's so wonderful. I am so beyond gratitude that you are a part of our faith community. You are so valued and loved. But I really appreciate you talking about feeling free. That means more to me than anything, and I think to all of us, that you feel free.
Yes, I feel like it is a church. Many times you attend some kind of very conservative church, you don't feel that it's a church, you know. Yeah, some people cannot go in.
Yes.
Actually, not some. Many people, really, like more than 50 people cannot go in. They don't feel comfortable, you know, yeah.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, very powerful. So I've got one last question, and then we'll bring this to a close, and I look forward to having more conversations with you as well, because I have so many questions. So Nori and Wesley, we love them very much. These are her grandchildren. And so do you ever talk to Nori and Wesley about your faith?
They are very young, so, you know, they're hard to explain who God is, but the Joey had always a full-time job, right? So I raised them. When I take a walk, like 30 minutes every day, and then we could see in nature, right? Flowers, trees, and then, you know, the clouds, the sky. I always talking about God. Look, Nori, look at this little dandelion. See, dandelion, they fly to the other land, and they make a flower over there. Who's gonna do that? Like that? Oh yeah, I keep asking. And then my goal is like, my descendants will understand. He is the potter; we are the clay. I really want them to understand that. If they really understand that concept, they're not going to have any problems, you know. They're not going to complain or anything. They're going to be happy all the time. So that is my goal, but I will explain. Even though I made a book, who God is, or something like that, explain to the Wesley, you know, yeah.
Well, you are such a blessing for all of us and those grandchildren, Wesley and Nori, and I love that. We'll end with that, that God is the potter, and we are the clay. That's a perfect way to end our conversation for today. Thank you so much. Yes, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay. This week's guests were Pastor Mark Stevenson and Sandy Lee. The episode was produced by Donna Miller and hosted by me, Jace Lucas. Sunday Replay is a part of the Harmony Podcast Network from Harmony Toluca Lake, a campus of Hollywood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram by searching for Harmony Toluca Lake. We hope you'll like, rate, comment, subscribe, download, and share this episode, and that you'll join us next Sunday, which will actually be Tuesday when the episode comes out, but join us for our Palm Sunday episode. Until then, as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.